Amen. Beautiful song. Beautiful lady, I might add. Chip off the old block, you know. God, she looks like her mama. Take your Bibles and go to Matthew 1. You know, if you really want your church to be blessed, you need to bless her. You know, we get much out of life, what we really put in life, and if you want to have blessings, you want to have more than a little bit of lint in your pocket. You want to be one of the blessers. You want to be one of the investors. You want to be one of the givers in life instead of being one of those selfish takers. Give me, take world, you know, be in another kingdom. Be preparing for another kingdom. You want to sit home, be a bump on a log, and not spend your time investing in others. You'll end up being bah humbug, you know, and just an old sad sack, and when you need to be investing your life in others as you can. But I tell you, we had a lot of givers last night. Now, we had some takers too, but we had a lot of givers last night. Last night, we had a very well attended, very well organized, I felt. Very well organized. I thought it was the best one yet, and Christmas party, and a lot of fun, good godly music and devotion. Fantastic job, Brother Colin. That was really good. The exchanging of presents of Miss Andrea, I tell you, she's just so highly organized and skilled, just brings all of those years of experience. She has a lot of experience in about 10 years' time, you know, just one of those things. And a lot of the hard work the other ladies pitching in, and everyone seeking to do such a good job and did so lovingly and willingly. And our men looked so handsome. Man, I tell you what, they just really looked handsome. Our ladies looked so beautiful. And I just want to thank you for such a wonderful a night. It's a joyous occasion to spend some time just relaxing, enjoying one another's company and fellowship. And it was very, very good. Very good. I enjoyed it very much. The typical single man in America, or a single woman in America, perhaps older teenagers as well, boys or girls, may say, well, what's in a baby? What's in a baby? What's in a baby? What's that all about? What's in a baby? I love my single life. I love our, you know, carefree life. I like living a life with very little responsibilities, which tie me down. And you see a married couple, and they don't necessarily want children, and they think, well, what's in the babies? What's all these other people? You know, we get to take several vacations every year and just have life and make life what we want it to be instead of being concerned about others. And or if you have a married couple and they're just coasting along through life and the highways of life, and they've been married, say, about 10 years, but they have some friends. They have some other friends who are married, and couples who have little babies. And they may say, I don't get it. What's in a baby? What's in a baby? What's all of that all about? You know, our life seems to be so good, but they seem to be thinking that their lives are that much better. And, you know, they just love their life, and they love that. But I tell you, you let that same married couple or a single man or a single woman find a husband or wife and get pregnant, then after a long wait, experience the birth of their first baby, you'll start to understand. You really will start to understand what's in a baby. Because man, do things change, don't they? Some of you are on number one. Man, do things change. Your love changes even, doesn't it? Your love changes. Your responsibilities, they change as well. Your sleep changes too, by the way. Your love, your responsibilities, your plans, all the things you had planned, now they're going to have to be tweaked some. You know, you have a little one now in your life. How about your priorities? That changes, doesn't it? All with just the birth of a baby. Their whole life changes. Even the desires that you have when it's time to take pictures, that even changes. Trust me. That changes. You men may not even be in the picture, you know, but that baby's certainly going to be in the picture. But everybody seems to have a different take on what's in a baby once you actually have one. What's in a baby? When it comes in particular to the question, what's in a baby, in reflection The baby of interest to this season of the first Noel, if you asked me the question, what's in a baby? I would have to ask, well, how much time do you have? How much time do you have of what's in a baby? So I'd like to preach a message on, what's in a baby? What's in a baby? In Matthew chapter 1, let's begin in verse 18. Let's do that, okay? Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, you don't need flashcards for that, do you? You can understand that. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with a child. Well, that's never happened before. And shall bring forth the son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted as God with us. Brother Colin spoke so well on that last night. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. And Mary, we talked about that sweet name, Mary, that sweet young girl, that sweet young virgin, Mary, on Wednesday night. The Bible says in verse 25, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. The baby of Mary, who is called Jesus, actually had so much in him, we would have to totally pass the world over and all the universe to even start to just scratch the surface of what all he is and who he is. But let's try to scratch the surface anyway, shall we? And let's kind of keep in mind, what's in a baby? What's in a baby? Well, number one, a miraculous conception in this baby. A miraculous conception. Look in chapter 1 again, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. You can think about that sort of like an engagement period for our culture. It was different, but just for illustration's sake, that suits enough. While they were not together, but planning to be together. Enough said about that? Before they came together. So here's an emphasis that we would clearly understand. She is not with her future husband. They are not together as husband and wife. And the Bible says, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. She was found of child of the Holy Ghost. 700 years so, prior to these events unfolding in Israel, there was a prophet way back yonder who spoke of these glorious things that were to come. His name was Isaiah. Flip over there, hold your place now, and go to Isaiah chapter 7 and then verse 14 and then Isaiah 9, and we'll get some more insight there. Isaiah, that great prophet, foretold so much about our Lord. This is what he said. Now get this, 700 years plus before the birth of Christ. 700 years. He says in verse 14, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Here's a sign. Here's how you can know this is that special one. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. Well, wait a minute. That's different. Yep, you're right about that. You're right about that. Prophet, are you sure about this? Oh, yep. Straight from the throne of God. I'm absolutely sure about it. Well, that's not natural. You're right, sir. You're right, madam. You're right. It's supernatural. It's supernatural. Now, the Bible says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Go over two chapters to chapter 9. Chapter 9, look at verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful and Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice. From henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. So everyone starts scratching their head, but Isaiah, he lays out that great prophecy. How shall this be? Well, here's the answer. The zeal of the Lord will perform it. The zeal of the Lord will perform it. Is there anything impossible for God? What's in a baby? Well, what's in this baby is the deity. Is the deity. That's an amazing thing. To just stop and think about that for a minute. There was no time in eternity past, nor during the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth, or after his resurrection from the dead, or any time present day, then and up to now and beyond, on into eternity, that Jesus ever ceased from being God. He has always been God. Always, always. The deity, the second person of the Holy Trinity, has never been diminished. It has never been, never been discarded, but it was veiled. It was veiled. Like a lady is walking down the aisle and to be married, and she's got a veil on. You can still see. See? You can still see. Yeah, that's her. That's the right one. That's the one you proposed to. You want to make sure it's the right one, you know. And then finally, the preacher says, you can kiss the bride, and the veil is lifted, and you put a big smooch on her. That's the way it works. God in Christ, Christ has always been God. But when he became a baby, his deity was veiled. But he was still God and always has been and always will be God. Look in verse 20 of Matthew 1. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. It's of God. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is not Jesus with us, God with us. God with us. You telling me that when Jesus Christ was born a baby, he was God in the flesh? I'm telling you that absolutely. Absolutely. In Luke chapter 1, verse 32 and 33, the Bible says, and he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. No end. The Apostle Paul, speaking of Christ in Colossians chapter 1, said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is this? Who is the image of the invisible God? That God who was spirit in eternity past. Now he is the image of that invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He goes on, talks about his power. By him were all things created that are in heaven and that in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. For he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That means in your life and my life, he needs to be first place. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. It's all in Jesus. In chapter 2, verse 9, Great, great passage. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You can dig your heels in right there and bow your head in prayer and meditation and never come up and won't even come close to exhausting that. You won't even come close. I want you to know something. If and when you see Jesus face to face, you've seen the face of God. He's always been and shall always be God. That's what's in a baby, in this baby. Well, what's in a baby? Well, in this particular baby, how about a human nature yet without sin? In this baby, human nature yet without sin. Back in our text in Matthew chapter 1, look at verse 25. The Bible says here, Joseph knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Well, people say, well, so when Jesus became a baby, he stopped being this and he started being that. No. He didn't stop being anything. Think about it now. In the beginning was the Word, right? And in the beginning, God created. You start right there in your theology. God cannot cease to be God or he ceases to be God. So there's nothing of himself that changes. He doesn't take anything away. However, he does add something. Well, what does he add? Well, take your Bibles, go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Look at verse 4 and 5. This great theologian by the name of the Apostle Paul. Well, we call him the Apostle. That really wasn't his name. His name was Paul or Saul. The Bible says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. For sake of time, over in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, the Bible says, wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. It behooved him to be made. God was to be made in like unto his brethren. For what purpose? That he might be merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. You could never even hope to do any justice to this particular message or this particular point without going over to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John in chapter 1. So I encourage you to join me there. Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Logos, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word was an eternity past Christ. Without body, like the choir saying, without that human face, in spirit. But now in the incarnation, that second person of the Holy Trinity is going to be given a face, a human face, a human nature. He existed in eternity past in perfect harmony and power and wisdom with the Godhead as the triune God. And then verse 2, the Bible says the same was in the beginning with God. This Word, Jesus Christ, was there in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jump down to verse 14. Now that Word, that Christ in eternity past, that Word was made. Same thing we get the idea in Hebrews chapter 2, was made like unto, was made what? He was made flesh. You see that? He was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. No, it's not a riddle. He's just simply talking about that before John, before John, Jesus already was. He already was. And he certainly was before and after John. So nothing was ever taken away from Jesus Christ, but something was definitely added at the incarnation. Never was the deity diminished, never was the deity departed, never was the deity subtracted from, but the deity took upon himself human flesh, yet without sin, without sin. The word incarnation actually means the act of becoming flesh. That's what the word actually means, to become flesh. Human flesh. And yes, that means more than just fingers and toes and a little nose. It means very much human. Human. It's a mystery. It's really beyond our even comprehension. With the emotions, the human will, sorrows and disappointments, but yet without sin. So the Bible speaks about our Lord in his humanity needing to sleep. You young parents, y'all understand a little bit more about that than most. Needing to sleep in Luke chapter 8, 23. That he hungered, the Bible says, he grew hungry. You go long enough, your belly starts talking to your backbone, right? You get hungry. Jesus was 100% human and he grew hungry. He perspired. He got angry. He bled. Of course, in John chapter 19, of course, you bleed from that human body. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, but a body hast thou prepared me. A body thou hast prepared me. Hebrews 10, 5. He had joy. He had joy. Some people always want to have a sad Jesus and never have a happy Jesus. Well, he had both. He had both. He was fully human. John 15, 11. He had great sorrow. Read about that in Matthew 26, 37. He grew tall. You know, you little ones, I was talking to little barge girls, you know, yesterday. They were running all around getting everything ready. I said, wait a minute, get over here, you know. And I measure all the little ones when they run up to me, give me a hug, which I love that so much. But they run, and I just kind of put them right there and just kind of, okay, you're right here now. And I said, wait a minute. Seems like only 2 weeks ago you were right here. Now, how did you get up here, Sophie? You know, how did you get up here? What's going on? Well, they grow, don't they? All it needs is a little time. Some a little bit more time than others, but all they need is a little bit of time. Our Lord grew tall. He grew also in wisdom and stature. He even cried. He cried. He lived his perfect life, keeping the law, perfectly obeying his Father in the power of the Spirit. In all his time, by the way, but he's apart from time, but in all his time, we have to say something in some kind of sense, in all of his time, from eternity past, Christ never acted on his own apart from his Father or empowered by the Spirit. Absolutely, always in line in connection with the other members of the triune God. Let's go back to Isaiah 53. Oh, it's just too good not to go there. It's just too good. It's just too good. Isaiah 53. I'll begin in chapter 53, verse 1. You catch me there. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. In other words, he's not that beautiful Hollywood type. That's what this is saying. Nothing extraordinary about his appearance, something extraordinary about his character and his nature. He is despised and rejected of men, of a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, but yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Now get this, yet he opened not his mouth. Why? He knew. He knew this was the plan of God. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Has there ever been any more innocent animal than a little lamb? A lamb just kind of stands there. The lion comes out and the lamb says, well, go ahead and eat me. Doesn't have a whole lot to fight back with, does it? He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. What a Lord. He was taken from prison, from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and the rich, and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. What's in a baby? This baby, fully human, God made flesh. 100% God, 100% human, yet without sin. So, of course, that leads us into the fourth point, what's in a baby? Well, the supernatural union, the hypostatic union, if you would, of both of those natures into one. Fully God and fully man. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Well, why not? Because, well, he's fully human. He certainly can be touched. He certainly does feel what we feel. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So some people say, well, I get it. I think I get it, preacher. I think I get this. He was 50% human and 50% God. Wrong. Wrong. He's 100% God and 100% human, yet without sin. How are you going to figure that one out? You can't. You just have to accept it by faith. Accept it by faith. Christ did this to be the second Adam. By the way, the first Adam blew it. And in the first Adam, we all die. But in the second Adam, in this God-man, man-God, we live. We live. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, of suffering a death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death, Bible says, for every man. Oh, how about that? I think I read somewhere, for God so loved the world. I said, I think I read somewhere, for God so loved the world. The Bible says that he should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to be called, or to call them brethren. Brethren. In Hebrews chapter 7, just a few passages over to your right, beginning in verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth, what? Ever. Wait a minute. This man, how can he continue forever? Well, guess what? He's the God-man. He's the God-man. That's what we're talking about. What's in a baby? He's the God-man. Hath an unchanging priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Those other priests, all those digits all through the years, You know what happened to them? They died. They died. They died. Jesus Christ ever lives to make intercession. For such an high priest became us, who is harmless, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Let me just give you a little bit of Peter. I have to throw some of Peter in here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Peter wrote, "Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times." For who? For you. For me. Well, what's in a baby? What's in a baby? Well, how about heaven's celebration? Heaven's celebration. Over in Luke, and I'll be there probably next week, but Luke chapter 2, look at chapter 2, verse 8. And I'll start in verse 8, you catch me there. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to," well, just a few people. No, to all people. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." What's in this baby? Well, how about all of heaven celebrating this wonderful event? How about that? I said, how about that? All of heaven knew exactly what was being unscrolled by the incarnation. All of heaven understood all the prophecies of the past, and they knew this one was to come, and then he's born. And what happens? The scrolls of heaven are rolled back, and you hear the praise of all of heaven shouting, "Praise be unto God, glory in the highest." What's in a baby? All of heaven celebrating. Well, lastly, what's in a baby? How about earth, the people of earth, and their celebration? That's what's in this baby. That's what's in this baby. Go back to our text in Matthew 1, flip over one chapter to chapter 2. That happens to come after chapter 1. You catch me there. Matthew 2, verse 1. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea." By the way, that's where all those little lambs I was talking about, that's where they were raised and prepared to go to the slaughter. In Jerusalem. Where was Jesus born? Where were these lambs? Bethlehem. "When they gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, demanded of them where Christ should be born, and they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet," that's in Micah, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child." Liar, liar, pants on fire. "And when he had found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." He was a wicked man. "And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star," the Bible says right here, "they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." Oh, Well, who are these people? Well, they're human beings. They're people who are wise, but they live on planet Earth. Where do you live? You live on Mars, or you live on... This is planet Earth, by the way, just in case you're wondering where you are. This is planet Earth. Even more commending knew that. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshiped him. And when they opened the treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But wait, there's more. Look at verse 15. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Well, how did they go? Well, manana, manana. Oh, no. And they came with haste. That indicates some excitement. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe. What's in this babe? He's lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they decided they're not going to say anything about this. It's just not too exciting, not really big news at all. That's not what happened. The Bible says, when they seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, this baby. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now, let me close. Multiply what's in a baby by this earthly response now by millions and billions of human beings on planet Earth. Millions and billions of people on planet Earth. Since the time of Christ alone, just since the time of Christ, who celebrate the birth of this baby. Each and every Christmas. You would have to also include all those who knew the book and were also looking forward to the Savior. Because every year they were looking for this one who was to come. One of those men had a name of Simeon. Simeon. Let's go over to that in Luke chapter 2. Just show you something real quick. You're already there. Luke chapter 2, look at verse 27. The Bible says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. Now this is Simeon. And when the parents brought in the child, this is Joseph and Mary, when they brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then, this is Simeon, he took him, the baby, up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now letteth thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Lord promised him, you're not going to die until you see the salvation of the Lord. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. All people, wait a minute, this is the Jews only kind of a gig. Nope. To all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles. What are you? Well, guess what? If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. Simeon knew the coming of Christ, the first Noel, the coming of Christ would be a blessing to all the people of the earth. The Gentiles as well as the Jews. How about that? But for even for those who do not know the Bible, for those who may not even appreciate all that is to be learned or found out about God and some of the things that have mentioned here today, may not even yet be saved, they are still blessed by this baby. They're still blessed by Him. For this baby changes everything. It changes everything. Whereas each and every one of us deserved hell 10,000 times over, now, through the work of this baby to be man, the Son of God, His atonement on the cross of Calvary, supernatural resurrection, all can be made right for you. All can be made right. No one from time past has as much attention given them and their words and their actions, no one, as does Christ, who was once a baby. Millions and billions of people, millions at one time, in 1 minute, will consider the birth of Jesus Christ. Millions, millions will be thinking about what Christmas really was all over the world at any given minute around Christmas time. Around Christmas time. No one is presented more honor. No one is presented more love than Him. You know, you think about it. The other day, I had a little one in my arms and thinking about this with the Lord. And the same feet that you know had to be tickled by Mary and Joseph. Tickle, 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 tickle. And you know, probably the wise men too. Is it okay? We approach, okay? What an honor. What an honor. Well, what do men do? Tickle, 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 tickle. Tickle, 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 tickle. Can you imagine just your creativity? Could you imagine tickling the feet of God? That's who He was. What's in a baby? Those same feet later walked on water. Those same feet under great weight of the cross representing our sins made His way on those same feet, now grown into a man's feet, up the hill called Calvary. Same feet. That same voice that you know, Mary. Nobody holds a baby as close as Mama. And you know she held Him near. And the same little voice that cooed to her ear is the same voice when the seas are all troubled and men, grown men, capable men, fishermen, were scared to death. He stood that same voice and said, "Peace, be still." And the waves went calm. Same voice. That same voice that said, "Whosoever will may come." So you may ask, well, what's in a baby? Well, if you ask me that in light or in regard to Jesus Christ, I would have to say, well, how much time do you have? That is what, and far more, is in this baby. So when you bow your head and you celebrate your Christmas this year, don't forget what's in this baby. Let's stand for prayer.